Good afternoon, everyone. Let's call the meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. Let the record reflect at 6:32 p.m. on Wednesday, April 13th.
We do have a quorum with Senator Huggins, Senator Diesel, myself, Senator Dunleavy. I'm anticipating Senator Gardner any moment and Senator Stevens as well. The purpose of the meeting today is to hear House Bill 156, School Accountability Measures Federal Law. HB 156 was served yesterday, April 12th. Amendments were made and public testimony was left open. There is a committee substitute for consideration. Senator Huggins, could you please move the committee substitute, and I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 156, Education Version Uniform.
Thank you, and I will object for purposes of discussion. And
do they all have a copy of the CS? Okay, Krista, if you could come up and just walk through the CS, please.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Krista McDonald, staff to Senator Dunleavy. The committee substitute, version U in front of you, simply enrolls the amendments that were passed yesterday. There were six of them. First one was parental rights. Second one was physical examinations for teachers. The third dealt with questionnaires and surveys. The fourth was technical corrections to House Bill 44 trainings. The fifth one was Department of Education procurement exemption for the purposes of standardized assessments. And the Sixth Amendment repealed the 70% rule. These are reflected in the CS before you.
So any questions for members of the committee? This is the CS. It represents the amendments that were adopted last night. Welcome, Senator Gardner. We're on the CS, and my staff, Krista, just went through the CS and it's been moved, and I've objected for purposes of discussion. Are there any questions for members of the committee on the CS? Seeing none, the CS is adopted. We're going to take a very brief at ease. We're back in session. We do have an amendment, amendment number one by Senator Dunleavy. Senator Huggins?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one, which is uniform.1.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion, and I'll ask Krista to come forward, state her name for the record, read through the amendment, and then I will add some explanation, and we'll take questions regarding the amendment.
For the record, Krista McDonald, staff to Senator Dunleavy. Amendment 1 to version U of HB 156 would add a new section, AS 1430.361, Sex Education, Human Reproductive Education, and Human Sexuality Education. It would establish that only a person with a valid teacher's certificate who is under contract with the school may teach a class or program in sex education, human reproduction education, or human sexuality education. In addition, it would require that before the curriculum, literature, or materials related to sex education, human reproduction, or human sexuality education may be used in a class or program, the materials must be approved by the school board for and available for parents to review.
Thank you. So just to add some more detail, there has been much discussion this past year, the year before, in terms of sex education in our public schools, human reproduction education, and human sexuality education. SB 89 was an attempt to actually decide who would be in our schools teaching these things, and I have to say that the discussion, from my perspective, has been very enlightening. What this amendment aims to do, it does not block any group or any subgroup. What it basically says is that the teaching of sex ed, human reproduction, human sexuality will be done by a teacher with a Type A certificate, which state law already says that teachers in our schools should have a Type A certificate if they're going to teach. And it also just reaffirms that curriculum, materials, approaches are vetted by the school boards in a public school board meeting, adopted by school boards, and displayed for the public so they understand what's going on. So this does not prohibit sex education. This does not prohibit reproduction education. This does not prohibit human sexuality education at all. It actually calls for the Type A teacher in our schools to be the one that delivers this education, to notify parents beforehand, and to have it vetted by a school board in a public meeting, as opposed to coming in from a classroom, which is really not supposed to. Our curriculum all should be adopted by school districts. So this does not tell the school district what curriculum to adopt. It merely says that it will be teachers under contract with a Type A certificate that will be delivering this education. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, Amendment 1 is adopted.
Oh, I object. If you're going to withdraw your objection, I'll object.
Withdraw my objection, okay.
And I'll object.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
So with that, can we do a voice vote, please?
Can I speak to this, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I just want to talk. Yesterday we had a brief discussion about endorsing the concept of local control. Initially, it was in relation to pushing back against federal control of education, but we also talked about endorsing local control. We have a system where we local communities elect their school boards, and they have a relationship with their school board, ideally, and the school board makes decisions for those schools. And this is absolutely a contradiction to that, and that's why I'm objecting.
Thank you. And I would like to go on record and say this is exactly what state law calls for. It's already in statute. It reaffirms what should be done so that parents know what's happening, students know what's happening. And the whole public process for school boards is to vet in public what they're going to be teaching so the public could have input. And this does all of that. So with that, can we do a voice vote, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Senator
Gardner?
No.
Senator Stevens is absent.
And
Chair Dunleavy?
Yes. And so with that, the amendment is adopted. Do we have a motion to move the bill out of committee to finance? Senator Huggins?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 156, Uniform, as amended with attached physical note and individual comments, be moved from committee.
And Senator Huggins, my apologies. I'm going to hold that motion just for a moment because I just realized we do have people still online, two people for public comment. Elise Galvin, could you please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony?
Hi. My name is Elise Galvin, and I am with Great Alaska Schools. We have more than 2,500 grassroots members who are really deeply concerned about this bill. I very much appreciate that we're now changing it to acknowledge that we're not blocking in any way anyone from teaching. But it does sound like there's a little bit of a barrier when we say a Type A teacher only. I think in the past we've said that a Type A teacher needs to be in the room. And maybe I'm misunderstanding, but if I'm not misunderstanding, then all of the testimony I heard yesterday really, I don't think it's been taken to heart. What I heard yesterday from, gosh, it was so many students, say that, and teachers, they would really rather have someone from a group who is not a teacher teaching this, and I appreciate that. I also very much appreciate that we need to think about not having the state be so much in control of local decision making. And so with those two things in mind, I ask you to please pause on this and maybe study it up a little bit more before going so far as to create any sort of a barrier to this sort of education. And please, I hope I'm incorrect and misheard you, but if what I heard was correct, then I just truly think it's important that we let the local governments decide on this.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Galvin? Senator Giesel.
Ms. Galvin, I'm reading this amendment, and the words say approved by the school board. It escapes me how this is not locally controlled by a local school board. Could you explain that?
Well, I think when we're asking, I think that the school board should decide what it needs to approve or not approve. And at this point, you're telling them that they need to approve something specifically. I think it's kind of putting that in their ball when they haven't, up to this point, it's been working fine. So somehow we have this new law that I'm not sure, it feels like extra government, frankly.
So, this is Senator Dunleavy. We just approved a bill this morning on physical education. It was 19-1, I believe, because
18-2.
18-2.
I think you and
right.
Senator Stoll.
Right, and that bill was an imposition on school districts to teach physical education. The school districts were not given a choice in that particular issue because 18 folks thought it was the best thing to do. This particular amendment that was just passed is in line with state statute that's been in existence for quite some time, actually, at least since 2004 when it was amended. There's also...
I'm a little confused. It sounds like you've already passed it, so maybe I shouldn't be speaking.
No, we have not moved the bill out of committee, but we've passed an amendment.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Okay, and so we also have in state statute where it's required that school districts select the curriculum. School districts select the materials. School districts select the books. And so what this amendment does is reiterate what is basically already in law and that it must be done publicly so people know what's going on. And so
why do we need to reiterate and why do we have to? I was confused about the type A teacher. I think that might be something I didn't follow correctly.
Yeah, that's in law that your type A teachers that teach in the classrooms.
Do they have to be doing the teaching? I know there are guest speakers all the time.
Right. In this particular case, in order for us to make sure that what is vetted by the school board is taught in a manner that what the school board has adopted is going to be taught by type A teachers.
So that's messing up to me,
yeah.
I guess. That might be something that feels like a barrier to me, because we don't have extra money right now to train up people to get that done right. I appreciate what you're saying,
right.
But that's extra money to train them up to do it correctly.
And I appreciate your comments. We're going to go next to David Boyle. David Boyle, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Chairman Dunleavy, other committee members, David Boyle, and I'm speaking for myself. You know, I've been watching the status of public education in Alaska, not near as long as the chairman for sure, but probably for the last 8 to 10 years. And we're in a real conundrum here in this state as far as providing transparency to parents and students regarding how well their students are doing. I like this bill. I think it really holds the state accountable, the Department of Education, and local school districts to parents and students. And what I'd like I'd like this legislature to do and the state to do is to focus on the kids in the room, not the parents. This is about the students and how they can get the best education possible. Now, as you know, in the past, the state has had the Iowa Test of Basic Skills in the 90s, then they migrated to the California Achievement Test, and I guess we didn't look good enough for that, so we developed our own unique standard-based assessment test, which, you know, was unique to Alaska because we do things differently. What was really unfortunate with that, as you probably know, is it set the bar so low that anybody could walk over that bar. As a matter of fact, it indicated that 80% of our Alaska students were proficient in reading. When in fact, the national test, the NAEP test, showed that about less than 30% of our students in fourth grade were proficient at reading. So we were just fooling ourselves, fooling our parents, and most of all, cheating the kids. So I like what's happening here, and I did read the letter from the U.S. Department of Education to Interim Commissioner McCauley, and there's some real challenges in there, as you're aware. I think we're in real trouble as far as doing away with the AMP test. The Alaska Policy Forum, we did support the AMP test because we thought it was done very well. The one unfortunate thing about it is it was designed not to inform parents and students and teachers on how well an individual student was doing. I think it probably could be fixed in that regard. The technical glitches such as the cable cuts, you can't foresee them, and stuff like that happens, as we all know. So I hope that's not an excuse to throw the test away. I think, and I listened to Dr. McCauley talk about doing away with it, going around the easy way, doing an RFI instead of an RFP. I think they could probably expedite it. I'm not sure the RFI is the best way to go. As a matter of fact, I would like this state to consider maybe looking at other states' tests and maybe buying them off the shelf. Let's look at Massachusetts, maybe Ohio, maybe even Florida. And maybe their test will fit our needs up here in Alaska. But the bottom line is focus on these kids. Let's not cheat them again. And let's do it the right way. And I personally don't care if we lose $99.3 million in federal funding. That's a challenge we need to look at. But we, as a state, need to decide.
Hey, David, if you can wrap
our education.
David, if you can wrap up, that would be great.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity, and please pass this bill out of the committee.
Thank you very much. Any questions for David Boyle? Seeing none, thank you. Next we have online Butch Moore. Mr. Moore, could you identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Butch Moore. I'm representing myself, and I just wanted to address a couple things here quickly. One is that I haven't had a chance to review this draft and find it difficult to comment on a draft that has just come out in a meeting that's just been called with a new draft with significant language changes. I have a question because I can't seem to find it, and Senator Dunleavy, maybe you can clarify this for me so that I can speak to it directly. The teaching classification of a Class A teacher, is that specifically required for any reproductive or sexual education? Is that what this the bill is saying now?
It's the overall definition of a classroom teacher, an individual who is in the classrooms teaching children in our K-12 schools.
Okay, so thank you. So I guess my question would be, if we have someone from Providence Hospital come in and teach CPR, or a fire department come in and teach stop, drop, and roll, or somebody from an archery club come teach archery during a gym class, as long as there's a teacher present, then that's okay because we have a teaching certificate there supervising the class.
That issue isn't being addressed in this bill, and you would still, I would hope, have a Type A teacher in the classroom. Type A teachers, once again, have the training, have been vetted, have the credentials, have been given a license, have gone through background checks, have gone through the whole process, so that parents know that who is in the classroom with them, with their students, They're folks that are trained, vetted. This is what they do as a profession, and the kids are safe.
Right, and that, I guess there is my question, is so if we're making certain that our kids are safe, I would be concerned as a parent that if there's an archery class being taught that my kids are supervised by a teacher. Does this change any portion of, I mean, this is specifically singling out sex ed and reproductive education versus any other kind of education. Is that correct?
And this
shouldn't be the same for all education?
In this particular amendment, you're correct. And folks can bring forth any bills that they want, Mr. Moore, any time when we're in session. And they can file bills as legislators, and we can hear those bills.
So the primary difference in this and the Senate Bill 89 that you previously referenced, this has no opt-in or opt-out provision. It does have an opt-out, as they all do, but it doesn't have an opt-in. Is that right?
That's correct. Students that are enrolled in the school and the class would be in the class unless their parents signed a slip to have them get out of the class. So everyone is in until a parent wants them out. We're going to wrap up soon. If you have some closing statements, that would be great.
Yes, I'm sorry that I can't speak better to the bills. I haven't had enough time to review it, but I think taking the opt-in provision out is significant, but I still think we're limiting the education of our kids with some of the sources that we have that are provided for free volunteer services that we may have to pay teachers to provide that education now. So I think that's another thing to think about as well.
I appreciate that. And this, if this bill is moved out of committee, it will be going on to finance for some more hearings. So with that, we're going to close the public testimony. Before we do that, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify upon this bill? Seeing none, we're going to close the public testimony. Senator Huggins, can you restate the motion to move?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a comment.
Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have a question, and if you'll bear with me, with your leave, it refers to the amendment. Are there any other topics that require that a certificated teacher teach rather than be in the room with a guest instructor?
Well, my best way to answer that is my understanding is that all certificated teachers should be the primary teacher in that classroom teaching that primary subject. So, for example, you have math teachers that are trained as math teachers to teach math. They get a license, they're vetted, they're interviewed by the school district, they have background checks, they're professionals, just like a doctor, just like a lawyer. What I got out of the last couple years of hearings is, on the one hand, we don't want to privatize education by having non-certificated teachers teaching. We don't want to privatize education by having K-12 students and public money following students to potentially private and non-certificated folks. But when we hear the testimony, like I have the past year on 89, and I've come to the conclusion that probably the best way to solve this issue for all parents, not just a select few, but all parents and students, is to ensure that who's teaching are certified teachers that have been vetted, and what they're teaching has been vetted by the school district publicly, adopted publicly, and is not coming through a side door, a back door, but is actually looked upon as a serious issue where the school district itself tackles that issue and decides its own curriculum. Part of the process that we went through, it was told to me we should not be imposing upon school districts like we did this morning on recess and PE, and I listened to that. It should be professional, it should be factual. And quite honestly, I stayed up most of last night after 89 died on the other side of the, in the other body, and I thought to myself, what's the best way to serve kids, deal with the issue of sex education, sexuality education, reproduction education? And I think, you know, I don't know why I thought that, I didn't think about it earlier, but the same way we deal with biology, the same way we deal with Spanish, the same way we deal with elementary ed. Have it done by a certificated teacher who's been vetted and hired and contracted by the school district.
Mr. Chair, the reason I ask the question is because I've been asked many times to go into schools at East High, for example, and talk about government. and talk about how a bill is introduced and how it follows through the process. I'm not a certificated teacher. The teacher who was there certainly was aware of what kids were doing and was paying attention, but I presented the lesson. I do not have a credential. If I were invited into a science class or a health ed class to talk about sex education, under this bill, I would not be allowed to do it. But under current statute, or even with this bill, I can go in and talk about government. I can go in and talk about social studies. I've been to science classes and talked about them. I'm not a scientist. I was always sort of puzzled why I was asked about that. But why should we single out?
It's interesting that you're saying that, because after the hearings here the past couple weeks, I called superintendents, for example, in some of the largest school districts in the state, and I said, what is your process for having outside groups such as abortion providers to come before your school board and vet their curriculum and be adopted? And I had one individual that I know well that is in a very large school district says, we don't have them in our schools. When I've been told by parents that they're coming in, as you're saying, having discussions through the classroom, by law, they really shouldn't be doing that. It should be the school boards that vet what's happening. That's why you have an elected body at the local level to vet what's going on in those schools. And what I was getting was a confusing mix of, yes, we're there by groups such as Planned Parenthood and many speakers, and no, we're not by other folks saying, no, they're not there. So really what our research and evidence has found is that there are these groups in the schools, some by invite by the school boards, which will now, what they'll have to do is vet the materials publicly. I think the public really needs to vet the materials that they are giving to children so the public can see if this is what they want in their schools. And the teacher then is now certified. The teacher has a bit of skin in the game, their certificate. We have many folks that can teach math but are not certificated. We have many folks that can teach science. And there are many folks in the state of Alaska that say, why don't we do that? It'll be a lot cheaper. But I think many of us agree that if you have a professional teacher doing it the right way, the kids are going to get more out of it. We either believe that your certified teachers are the way to go, or we don't. So,
Mr. Chair, the point I'm trying to get at is not to do away with certificated teachers, but to make it possible and easy for them to invite other people to come in and talk. And there's a big effort in my school district to try to get the public involved in their schools, to have outreach. They have school business partnerships and lots of teachers with outreach. When I was involved with East High School, when I had three children there, we used to sign up. We would invite parents to talk about their area of expertise and if they were willing to volunteer in the schools. And when they were available, we would take these massive sheets and put them up in the teacher lounge with phone numbers and say, this person is an economist and would be happy to talk with students. And here's their phone number, and they're available mornings or whatever, and try to encourage people to be involved in their schools and try to encourage teachers to use those resources. It doesn't mean that a certificated teacher would not be in the room, but rather that they're inviting expertise from the community in addition to their own expertise.
Right.
And I think what we've done here with sex education, sex ed, what we used to call it, you can call it whatever you want, we know what we're talking about, but why shouldn't they invite outside expertise? Why should that subject be treated differently from everything else?
Because it has been shown to be at times very divisive, and it needs to be approved by the school board. The people of that local district, it was made loud and clear to myself and others, that the state should not impose, even though that's what we do with some bills such as 44 and what we did today. We should not impose, but we impose when we want. But when we want the school districts to adopt the curriculum, adopt the programs, we say that maybe that's not the case, it shouldn't happen. So this particular issue, I believe that the statistics demonstrate that we should be seriously taking a look at this. And I think the best way to do it is have certificated teachers do it. There was never a discussion about having sex education done away with. That was a fallacy that was brought about by some folks that did not support 89.
We've been clear that sex education should be taught. Sexual reproduction or reproduction education should be taught. And the new concept that I think a lot of us are learning about, sexuality, probably should also be touched upon. Sex education is the biology. Sexuality is now the new view of sex. I think we've got to be very careful that we have the right people in there, that the school board is fully aware of what's happening in their schools, that the principals and the superintendent are fully aware. We would have to adopt reading curriculum, see Jane run through a board process, and something like this needs to be vetted. And so with that, and there's always opportunity, Senator, as you know, to bring up bills in the future. We always do that. So with that, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move this Senate CS for House Bill number 156, Education Version Uniform, as amended with individual comments and attached zero physical note, be moved from committee.
And there's an objection. Is it maintained?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Voice vote, please.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes. So with that, the bill passes out of committee. It'll be going to finance. And this, I believe, is our last meeting of the year. So thank you, folks. Meeting is adjourned.